Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for everything that you've already done. We are alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ. Thank you for lighting us, Lord, that others can see you, Lord, when they see us. So teach us through the word. Teach us, rebuild our ability to trust. Lord, we put our heart, we put the full weight of our heart entrusted to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our series, Pathways to Partnership. The Lord's given us five core tenets: honor, humility, trust, unity of the Spirit, and hearts for reconciliation. He wants these to become flesh in us, that we're walking these out. Not that we just amen them, but we're walking them out. We manifest them one to another. So as a church staff, you know, in leadership, we want this, these five core tenets active in all of our leadership areas. How about active among us as we advance God's kingdom together? That this is how we relate to one another. We honor one another. We're humble towards each other. We trust Christ in each other, right? We don't even trust ourselves after the flesh, but we trust Christ in one another. The unity of the Spirit, which we already have because we're born of the same Spirit, washed in the same blood, and then hearts for reconciliation. If you hit a hiccup in the road with somebody and there's strife and tension there, that our heart is reconciliation. We're going to move towards that person. Amen? To make it right. Because on earth as it is in heaven, that's our Lord's will. Amen. Thank you for that. It works in your natural family too. It'll work in your business relationships. All five of them just being active in our lives and in our minds. We want to continue this morning the core tenet of trust, because as we ended last week, I really felt the compassion of the Lord as we ended where his healing was very present for those of us who've had our trust broken. I read the letter from Joyce Meyer. I don't know if you remember that, but she said, I used to have a habit of trusting myself. I formed that habit through the years of, you know, trusting people, getting hurt, and I found out I couldn't trust anybody. And then she thought, well, I'll just close myself off. I'll cut myself off from anybody else and just protect myself. But this mindset kept me from trusting God. Now, I remember he told Ed, raise your hand. He told Ed a few months ago, Ed, I can't protect you because you're always protecting you. Why don't you let me protect you? I'm much better at it than you. Boy, that got quite a response. Amen. See, Ed, your pain was their gain. Did you see that? She said, For example, I knew by the age of 7, I couldn't trust my parents. They were self-absorbed and abusive to me. I grew into a teenager, young adult. I had sad experiences that screamed to me, you can't trust anybody. I married this guy at 18. He was unfaithful. He was a petty thief. He ended up going to prison. She said, I'm sure I met people that were trustworthy, but I had so much anger with those who had hurt and disappointed me that that's all I thought about, was those I couldn't trust. Then I married a man named Dave. That's Joyce Meyer's husband today. She was 23. And from that point on, I regularly attended church, and I assumed that because I was now involved with church people, I could trust them. And that I would never get hurt by a Christian. And then she said, but that didn't turn out to be true either. How many of you know we're not perfect? That's why we come here. We need him. We need him. As a matter of fact, some of the deepest disappointments she had were at the hands of Christians. But she said, as a result, for a long time, there was much turmoil, not trust in my life. And it really saddens me to think about all the years I've wasted living this way. I was a Christian and went to church, but I spent a whole lot of time being mad, upset, worried about things I could do nothing about. And that left me with a ton of guilt and shame. But thank God I experienced radical transformation in my soul. And the key was developing habits that helped me learn to trust God with all my heart at all times. There's a measure of trust that only God should have from you, because he's the anchor. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as far as entrusting the whole of your heart, that belongs to God. and God only. And what I mean by that is you can't live with the thought that your spouse or your child or whoever super close to you is never going to disappoint you. You're just setting yourself up and them for damage. Okay, so that's what she's saying here, that she learned to fully trust God at all times. I began engaging in spiritual habits that saturated me with the knowledge that God loved me. How many of you think the knowledge that God loves us is crucial to us being able to walk in trust? Absolutely. Matthew 6, well, we'll look at it here in a little bit, but Jesus talking about worry. Do you not know that you matter to God more than birds, he said. And then, secondly, habits that help me know that God is good and that he had a real desire to provide for and protect me. What joy this has brought me. I learned that God wants us to put him first in our lives and trust him. Live confidently before him in all things. So trusting the Lord is the only way we're going to have sanity. Because, man, if you just put all your happiness eggs and trust eggs in everybody else's basket in the human being realm, you're going to be hurting for certain. But it's a quandary because we're made to trust. I don't feel right in distrust, mistrust, paranoia, speculating about all their motives all the time. I've got to be anchored somewhere, and it's him. I put my trust solely in him. So I woke up Friday morning, which was my 50th birthday. Amen. I woke up Friday morning, September the 18th, and he said, I've given you several scriptures this morning on how I feel about you, my son. And I looked down at the bottom of my prayer journal, and you can't see it, but it's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. The Hesed love of the Lord. You guys know I've been on this kick, Hesed love. It's a Hebrew term for love that's based on the stronger one, the stronger party always leaning into the weaker vessel. And that he won't forsake the weaker vessel, even when they break his heart, he won't stop loving them. It's Hesed love. It's covenant loyalty love. So I wake up on my birthday, and my prayer journal has Lamentations at the bottom of it. Chapter 3, verse 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. The Lord is good to those who depend on him and those who seek him. He said, Steve, stay tender, stay true, stay authentic, stay humble, be a man of prayer, be a man of integrity, because my Hesed love is eternal for you. And I'm like, Lord, I got to know more about Hesed love. So I went to this Hebrew, yeah, isn't it awesome how only he can satisfy, and yet then you want more. I'm satisfied, but I want more. So I went to this Hebrew website that gives definitions to Hebrew words in the Bible. And Hesed is a lifelong love that's based on a covenant relationship. It's a steadfast and faithful love that endures for all of eternity. Amen. My goodness. Everybody say, I'm loved. So Isaiah 54:10, he gave me that. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. We see it in our country, right? It's not even November yet. But my loving kindness. Everybody say loving kindness. That's Hesed love. And it's spelled C-H-E-S-E-D in Hebrew, but it's pronounced Hesed love. You really got to roll your throat with the H, but I can't really do it. But my Hesed love shall not depart from you. Look at that. Everything can shake. It can all burn to the ground. But my faithful love shall never depart from you, nor shall my covenant of shalom, peace. My covenant towards you to be all that you need me to be, our harmony together, which is what shalom means, our oneness together, will never be removed. I'm like, Lord, but I stumble. Lord, I hate it. I mess up all the time. It breaks my heart. And he said, that's what I love about you. He's near and dear to a broken and contrite heart. I don't have any trouble thinking that I'm all that and a bag of chips apart from Jesus. I have no trouble with that. My trouble is, Lord, I'm so sorry, man. I want to be like you, but I'm not always like you. But look at the promise. His loving kindness will never leave. His covenant of peace will never be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Amen. The Jews will tell you that hesed is a love that extends far beyond any sin or betrayal to heal the brokenhearted and graciously extend forgiveness to them. Boy, isn't that something? Hesed is a form of love that extends beyond any sin or betrayal to heal the brokenhearted and graciously extend forgiveness to them. It is a love without limits or boundaries. And he said, this is my love for you. Yes. Keep understanding it. Keep seeking it. Keep growing in it and keep sharing it. See, he never asked you to earn his love. He only asked you to share it. And the best way to have it to share is to receive it. Say, thank you. Lord, I receive it. And so then I was still hungry. So I went to the Greek equivalent of hesed love in the Old Testament. The Greek in the New Testament is eleos. E-L-E-O-S. In the Greek New Testament, it means mercy, compassion, covenant love, covenant loyalty. It's God's readiness to help those who are in trouble. It's his mercy, kindness, and goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them and to help them. That's what sin does to us, makes us miserable. Can I get a witness on that? And yeah, it may be pleasurable for a season, but oh, at the end, it breaks our heart. Because we're not made for it. Our heart, we have a new heart. Amen. Yes. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior towards mankind appeared, that's Jesus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Eleos. According to his, the Old Testament's a type and shadow. It's his covenant love, hesed love towards the Jews. The children of God in the Old Testament, those who are circumcised now of the heart, the new covenant believer, is his covenant love towards you and me, is Elias. And so he saved us, not by works of righteousness we had done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we are now heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. So if you're getting tired of hearing about his love, just hold on. I want you to affirm these constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to them. Amen. So where you've experienced betrayal and brokenness at the hands of other people, there's wholeness available for you. There's wholeness available for you. Wholeness. His covenant of peace will never be removed from you. His hesed, steadfast, faithful love will never be removed from you. See, we get broken. We get touched by infirmity. We get touched in human relationships, and it's hard to trust. But God is your anchor. And I think it's amazing. You learn this love from him. Because remember, he said, it says here that his love is what keeps coming towards the brokenhearted, the miserable. So he's not even the one who's committed adultery. That would be us. And yet, he comes with forgiveness. He comes with all the healing balm that we need. Isn't that incredible? He's not even the one who did it. See, in the natural world, what do we think about? Well, someone committed adultery against me. Someone didn't love me properly. Somebody hurt me. Well, when we're grown up in Christ, We're not thinking about ourselves. The one who committed the sin is the broken one. Woo, that was good. We got it all backwards. It's like, oh my gosh, someone did that to you. Your whole life must be over. You'll never recover from that. That's garbage. The one who committed the sin is who our heart pours out for. They're the brokenhearted. And so Hesed love, our Father, He runs in with forgiveness and wholeness and reassurance of His faithfulness to the broken one. Come on, give Him praise in the house of God. We learn this love from Him. The stronger party leans into the weaker party. So if you're stronger in your marriage, you need to begin to study and eat and devour the Hesed love of your Father. Because God's love is in you to lean healing in to somebody else. The one who has strayed, the one who has brought sin into the camp. Boy, that's a powerful, powerful truth. There's wholeness available for those of you that have been broken and damaged, though. Okay? That's what we're talking about. It's two sides of a coin. But He will teach you to forgive. He will teach you what healing is. Remember, forgiveness doesn't come from an apology. Forgiveness comes from Christ in you. Forgiveness doesn't come because of they did enough penance. And for 1 year, they told you every time they saw you that they were sorry and they were a terrible person and they did a horrible thing. And you hold that over their head for an entire year. That's not how you get forgiveness. Forgiveness is supernatural. You release the debt because the Father's Hesed love lives inside of you. It's supernatural. Don't lay forgiveness on the other person. Because I'm telling you, forgiveness is supernatural. It's not going to come from them performing in such a way that I guess it's okay to forgive. You're just living in the natural realm then. I want to read another one to you out of Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. I read it earlier, but I want to read it for the teaching. The Lord says, I'll betroth you to me forever. I'll betroth you to me in righteousness, justice, and in steadfast love. I commit to marry you in mercy. I'll even betroth you to me in stability, faithfulness, and you shall know me. That's how we learn to trust, because we know Him. As we know Him, see, we work hard to find trustworthy people. Why don't you land squarely with the whole of your being on a trustworthy God? That you can trust Him. You can trust Christ in your brothers and sisters. You can trust Christ in your spouse. You say, well, my spouse doesn't know the Lord. Then you need to pray for them. And then you can talk to them about boundaries. But you tell them, the boundaries are for me because I have a tendency to over-trust you and give you something I shouldn't. And I end up damaged. So the boundaries here are for me, not because you're a horrible person. Amen. When you forgive someone who didn't love you fully, you don't walk away deficient in love. Let's say you're married. There's a betrayal there. They didn't give you the love that you deserve. They didn't live out the love that they should towards you. Okay? Even though that happens, we can still forgive, release the debt, and not walk away deficient in love. You can still walk away with the Lord as your shepherd and you lack for nothing, because Christ becomes the love that you did not get. Does that make sense? It's not like you release the debt and now you just damaged goods. He more than makes up the difference. Whatever love you didn't experience in the betrayal, He becomes that love. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 18, verse 33, where Jesus said, should you not have showed Him mercy as I showed mercy to you. It's a glimpse into the new covenant contract. But how do we give away something we've not received? So I think it's pretty important we take time receiving His mercy. We take time sitting in His love so that we're living full lives. My goodness. Bottom line in all of this, church, is we tend to try and find reasons that we can better trust people. And what the Lord is saying to us is, get to know me. Because to know me is to trust me. And if you're all the time protecting yourself, you're tying my hands to be the one to protect you. And we need to be able to relinquish ourselves fully to him. Now, last week we talked about placing a trust in people that belongs only to God. The whole of Scripture records the faithfulness of God and the fallibility of man. Can I get a witness on that? Scripture testifies about the faithfulness of God, his perfection, and yet the fallibility of man. So we don't want to fully entrust our heart, especially to fallen man. We got to trust the Lord. Jesus talked about this, and the Apostle John wrote about it. John chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And the word there is trust in most translations. But he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So people try to use this and say, see, Jesus is telling me I shouldn't trust anybody. That's not what he's saying. How do you have a relationship without trust? So you just kill all your relationships if you don't have a measure of trust. What the mistake we make is too much entrusting of our heart. That's why it says he did not entrust himself fully to them. He didn't commit himself to them because he knew what lives in fallen man. So Jesus is not saying don't trust anybody. Number three core tenet for Grace Church is we're going to trust Christ in each other. We're going to trust his work within each and every one of us. Jesus didn't give himself over to the idea that men would never disappoint him. He didn't put the whole of his peace and security in the hands of human beings. God's not asking you to trust people after the flesh. I hope you don't even trust your own flesh. Amen, somebody. I hope you don't even trust your own emotions. So we don't want to live that way. Let's don't put that on everybody else. But how about the new creation man in you can trust the new creation man in them? And that releases you. Why? Because now you don't have to be everybody's Holy Ghost. You don't have to always be telling your spouse what sins they have. The new creation man in you trusts the new creation man in them. That you actually believe Christ lives in there and he's talking to them. Now they may not be yielding yet, but I have a measure of trust that he's at work. Amen. That's how we ended up with a cheerful giver's box. Remember? He said, trust me. I live inside of every born-again child of God. So how do we know if we're not operating in trust then? Well, how about stress, strain, strife, fear, worry, anxiety? But the opposite of stress is rest. And the Lord wants you to rest in his love. Rest in him. We're made for that. Matthew 11, 28, Amplified. Come to me, Jesus said. All you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I'll cause you to rest. Not just give it to you. I'm not just going to give you rest. I'm going to cause you to rest from within. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me is the correct translation. For I am gentle, meek, which is strength without harshness, and I'm humble, I'm lowly in heart. And you'll find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, recreation, like a vacation, blessed quiet for your souls. Jesus, give you a vacation from yourself. And all your fear and speculative thoughts and paranoia. Amen, somebody. So he desires rest for your soul and your mind. And if you're born again, you have rest in your spirit already. He is in there. The new creation man, Christ in you, is not wringing his hands over what somebody did. Woo, amen. You have trust in your spirit. So you got to put on your spirit, man. Because I'm telling you, your soul and your body need the Spirit of Christ leading you every day. I say it like this. You need the best of you to lead the rest of you. And the best of you is the Spirit of Christ in your spirit, man. Who's not wringing his hands about anything. He's at rest. He's too blessed to be stressed. And that's how he wants you to be. Too blessed to be stressed. Oh my goodness. Our emotions and our thought life need to be regularly subjected to the Spirit of Christ inside, because the Spirit of Christ within you trusts the Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. So let's find this rhythm of grace right here. There's a rhythm of grace in the Message translation, and here's how it's revealed. Oh, guys, I didn't even finish. Let me read the rest of it. Verse 30, for my yoke is wholesome, it's useful. It's good yoke, not harsh, not hard, sharp, pressing. It's comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. My burden is light and easy to be worn. Okay, that's the rest of Matthew 11. So let's look at the three. Number one, the rhythm of grace. You need to get this in your life. Come to me. Number two, take my yoke. Number three, learn from me. So as we were talking about eating the word last week, what do you see this is in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? This is a list. As you sit with scripture, look at it. Let the Lord show you things. This is a list that's going to produce a cause and effect. I'm going to come to him, take his yoke, learn from him. And what am I going to find? Rest and peace in my soul. Make sense? Yeah, I'm going to get a vacation from myself. So, number one, your rhythm of grace, when a problem or something's coming up, well, don't even wait for that. I'll just scratch that. That's terrible advice. Come to him every day. But the point is, oftentimes, we'll go to everything else but him first. Jesus better not be the last resort that you're going to. If there's stuff going on, go to him. He said, come to me. You want to find rest and trust and peace that lives in your soul? Come to me. That's your rhythm of grace. In everything, first and foremost, I'm going to him. I'm not going to try and tackle a stressful situation with my intellect. Matthew 6, 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at this statement. Are you not of more value than birds? They didn't even know that. Which of you by worrying can add anything to your stature? Can I get a witness that worry does not add, it subtracts from our well-being? Why do you think that is? Because you're not made for worry. You're made in the image of God. Whatever looks good on him is healthy to you. He's not up there worrying. Verse 33, he concludes it, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Come to me. Come to me first. Boy, you better be prayed up. Because if somebody, you know, hits your button, you might release 5, 6, 7 words you're going to greatly regret. Amen, somebody. I've already been with Jesus 7 or 8 or 9. I've already been with Jesus. I'm living a full life. I'm not living at a deficit. Lord is my shepherd. I'm full of him. So I can repay good for evil. How about this? Mistrust and worry is you meditating on a lie. When we're just in mistrust and distrust all the time, full of worry, we're just meditating on a lie that God's not enough. Now, here's the truth. Your understanding is what's not enough. But as I taught you last week, lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your paths straight. That's why you get stressed out. You're trying to lean on your own understanding. Don't do that. Seek him first. And understand that God's more than enough. And that the worst thing that can come out of this is he works it for my good. Amen. When you're not experiencing trust, but instead you're full of stress and strain and strife, ask the Lord this question. Father, what am I not believing about you right now? Because it's all tied to him. He's the one that helps you feel safe and that you can trust. Or if you need to, set boundaries in that relationship. Number two is take my yoke. A yoke makes two things become one. Amen? So two oxen yoked together says they can pull a sled as one. It's interesting that one horse can sled pull 2,000 pounds. Two horses yoked together can sled pull 6,000 pounds. Isn't that interesting? So there's an exponential power in agreement. Jesus wants you sharing life's loads with him. Take my yoke. God didn't make you to carry the cares of this world. He didn't make you to pipe in CNN 24 hours a day. Amen? Father, I just pray that all those networks would close in Jesus' name. Just shut them down. Shut them down in the name of Jesus. And if it's not in the, you know, the works that they shut down, then please help us to quit watching and quit piping in all the fear and worry and anxiety that natural man is addicted to. You know, they just, money rules that industry. You know that. They just want eyeballs. So whatever is controversial, they've long since left reporting news. It's all propaganda and agenda on those networks because it's money driven, and the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. God didn't make you to carry your sin. God didn't make you to carry the cares of this life. God didn't make you to carry the dysfunction of other people in your life. Write this down. Start cleaving to Jesus, not to people and their problems. Woo, amen. I meet people, it's like they're addicted to drama. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I want peace in my heart. It seems like you're just always gravitating towards drama, and this went wrong, and this happened, and somebody said this about me. I'm praying for you. So cleave to Jesus. That's how you take his yoke. Cleave to Jesus, not to people and their problems. You are not their Holy Spirit, so lose your Messiah complex. It's not up to you to fix everybody. Come on, I'm preaching good right now. You are not the Holy Spirit. Write this down. Worry is not love. I meet people, it's like they think love is worrying about everybody. Worry is not love. And it's like, I got to take on all the cares, all the children, all the grandchildren, all this, all that, everybody else's behavior, and they're just wearing it. That is not love. Excuse me. As I said before, Romans 8:28 says the worst thing that could happen out of this is God works it for my good. So that's how we process. That's how we perceive every situation that tries to come upon us. And then we're going to get the divine exchange. Everybody say divine exchange. Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the enemy, will be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke taken from your neck, and the yoke that used to be on you will be destroyed because of the anointing. Woo! Divine exchange. The anointing represents the Holy Spirit. So this is how we yoke ourselves to him, not to all those other things that try to make you, see, that's what happens, is we end up becoming one with people and their problems when you're supposed to be one with Christ. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. So don't take on the yokes of other people. Number three, learn from me. I love this one. Learn from me. No matter what you're facing, Jesus wants to reveal himself to you in that challenge. So get his perspective. Get his perspective before you try to right the ship. I like this. Let God stretch you and your faith in the challenges of life rather than let the devil stress you. Let God stretch you. Let him stretch you in regard to trusting him. Okay? Because as I come to Jesus, as I take his yoke, as I learn from Jesus, who is the model, pattern son, as I learn from him, the result is my soul is at rest. I learn to trust. Gavin, you guys can come. Here's the why question. Stacy and I were laughing yesterday. Remember that song, Why Me, Lord? Yeah. What comes after that? We couldn't remember. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve? Huh?
Even one.
Even one. I just think we get into that habit. It's like, why me, Lord? Why I gotta face this? Well, why not you? Is he not conforming you to the image of his son? Are we not, is all of our life, which is but a shadow on this planet, is this not a schoolhouse where we're learning? This is all training for reigning. You want to be over 10 cities, right? So you got to learn who he is and his expression in and through you. Amen. That is a good word. Training for reigning. Write that down. That's what we're doing on this planet. My boys were asking me the other day, why has it got to be like this? Why is it, you know, the world has fallen, all that. It's all a schoolhouse, man. Don't take it personal. It's a schoolhouse. We're training for reigning. But we've all asked it and said, why me, Lord? Let me give you some perspective. No one has ever suffered like Jesus Christ on the cross. But he's the pattern son, and we learn something from him. Because in the midst of that horrific day on the cross, which turned out to be our best day, remember what he said? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now that's a great statement of trust right there. When you're getting overwhelmed, you take those negative emotions of frustration, all that, you say, Father, I submit these to you. All these negative emotions, they're trying to come on me, these negative thoughts about so-and-so or whatever. Lord, I commit them to you. And into your hands, I commit my spirit. I'm going to trust you. That's what we need to do. Do you realize that every sin of every human that ever lived was put on Jesus at the cross? Every sin of every human that ever lived was put on Jesus at the cross, including future sin. So take the worst thing you've ever done and recognize that was put on him. He took all of that upon himself. The weight of that was laid upon him. Now that's a trial. That's a struggle. And yet he's able to say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. How about in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's sweating drops of blood for world transformation and world salvation? He's interceding. He says, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. He is the pattern son. So Lord, whatever this is I'm going through, let me entrust myself to you. And let me say, not my will, but thine will be done. And if I need to walk through this so I can have more training for reigning, so I can grow in faith, grow in my knowledge of you, grow in your faithful, steadfast love, then so be it, Lord. I want what you want out of it. How many times have we looked back on something? Honestly. How many times we look back and thought, God, I am so glad you handled that and not me. Many times. Stand with me. Boy, if you're here today, I want you to continue to let God heal your heart. But more than that, I want you to begin to entrust. I want you to begin to practice spiritual disciplines that help you entrust your heart fully to God and God alone. He has that one special place. Yes, we trust people, and yes, we trust Christ in each other, but only God gets that special weight of my heart, the full weight of my heart, that He'll never disappoint me, He'll never leave me or forsake me. And that you let God lead you into some of these disciplines and into this rhythm of grace we talked about. I'm going to come to Jesus, I'm going to take your yoke, and I'm going to learn from your example, Lord. I'm going to learn from you that no matter what I face, you're going to work it for my good. Thank you, Father. Let's just open our hearts right now. Take a moment. Let's take 2 minutes. Commune with Him. Lord, let this word go deep into our spirit. Let our heart hear your voice this morning. Father, would you show yourself to us? Would you reveal yourself by your Spirit? your hesed love, your faithful love, how loyal you are. Lord, would you reveal to those that need to hear it that they're far more valuable than birds, and that it's your good pleasure to care for them. We bless you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Oh, worthy, Lord. Falling in love. He's betrothed himself to you. Meditate on him. Falling in love once again. Once again. Well, hear the Lord say, come back to me. Come back to your first love. Come back to your first love. Lord, would you wash us? Would you cleanse us of all doubt and unbelief? Lord, would you send your word and heal the broken places in our heart where our trust was violated and betrayed? Maybe even where we misplaced our trust. Come and heal us, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Pathway to freedom is surrender. The freedom you're looking for is surrender. Father, every negative emotion, every negative thought, every negative pain, Lord, we yield them to you. Lord, we give. We give these emotions, Lord, this pain to you. We yield it to you. It's not ours to carry. We're to be yoked with you. And I just declare and decree over you, Grace Church, you are not to be one with your pain any longer. You are one with the Lord. You are no longer to be one with that past betrayal. You are one with me, says the Lord. You are no longer one with all the problems and decay of your past that is washed away, says the Lord. You are one with me. You are one with me. Father, we break all ties. Come on, let's do it together. Father, we break and we sever ties with all the pain, the problems, and the disappointments of the past. Behold, if any man be in Christ, all things have been made new. The old things have passed away. Isaiah 43, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It's like rivers in the desert. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. We receive the divine exchange, the anointing that breaks the old yokes. Father, I declare over this body in the name of Jesus that every old former yoke that they were one with, Lord, is broken from off of their neck. Lord, that yoke is broken because of the anointing, the divine exchange. Lord, we're no longer dull of hearing. We're now hungry to hear. Amen, church. We're no longer dull of hearing. We exchange it. We are hungry to hear. We are no longer sick in Jesus' name. The divine exchange is we are healthy in our spirit, soul, and our body, our mind, our emotions. We make the exchange in the name of Jesus. We are no longer forsaken. We have exchanged that lie that we are loved by the forever faithful God. Come on, give God praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Anyone else prophetically with a word? Anybody else hearing something from the Lord prophetically?
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.org.